Hi, good morning. Good morning, members. It is 10 o'clock and we do have a quorum in the meeting. Let me take the opportunity to welcome the Minister of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities into the meeting, as well as the department. A very warm welcome to you, Minister, and your department on this cold freezing day. Welcome members of the Select Committee into this meeting. I will put the agenda in front of the meeting. This meeting of the Select Committee on the Health and Social Services for today, Tuesday 24th. May 2022, has the following on the agenda. Opening and welcome by the chairperson, then with good apologies, and then we will go to the business of the day, which is the briefing by the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities on the Budget and Annual Performance Plan 2022-23. We will then, from 5:11 till 12 o'clock, and discussions and responses and the presentation. Then at 12, we will excuse the minister and her department and we will continue with our committee business. The adoption of the committee minutes and other business, and at our past 12, we're supposed to close this meeting. Let me then also ask members that we have to take into consideration that we must please keep within the time frame, because at 2 we will have a plenary in the NCOP where all our members must be present. So without any further ado, can I have a move for the adoption of the agenda, please?
Morning, Chairperson. I move to the
presenter. 7 seconds.
Thank you, Member Maleka and Member Chabale. Thank you very much. So the agenda has been approved. We will move to apologies. From my side, I've got an apology from Member Latuli, who has been put off by the doctor. I don't know if you received any other apologies, Marcel.
Morning, Chairperson, Minister, colleagues. Chairperson, the only apology we received was from Ms. Latuli. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, members. Let's go keep Member Latuli and the family in our prayers for going through this painful ordeal where she lost a brother. Without any further ado, I will hand over to the minister to take us through the presentation as well as the department. Thank you very much. Over to you, Minister.
Good morning, Madam Chair and honorable members of the NCOP in the Select Committee on Health and Social Services. Thank you once again for inviting us to brief the honorable members of the Select Committee on the budget of the department for 2022-2023 annual performance plan and budget. This invitation is a living testimony of the executive accountability to Parliament after 25 years of the existence of South Africa's democratic constitution. The constitution that takes and talks about human dignity, the achievement of equality in the advancement of human rights and freedoms as one of the its founding provisions. Some of us in the midst of this nation decided to deny women and children this founding constitutional rights and provisions, which clearly establishes the Republic of South Africa. The department is doing all it can to work with other departments, communities and private sector to eradicate the second pandemic of gender-based violence and femicide in our country. We are here to present the annual budget performance plan and the budget of the Select Committee to the Select Committee after a series of pandemics that befell our nation. COVID-19 and gender-based violence and femicide and the disastrous civil unrest and floods that continue to ravage KwaZulu-Natal, Northwest, and other parts of the Eastern Cape. All this need our full commitment and budget in order to cushion the effects of all this with all the budget constraints we have. Be that it all as it may, the department managed to achieve the predetermined objectives set out in the previous annual plan and is open to available to constructive criticism and ready to accept shortcomings and areas that need improvement. Madam Chair, it is our firm belief that we must prevail in all the storms, especially with the support and advice and recommendations that we continue to get from the NCOP Select Committee on Parliament. The executive accountability in a mutually reinforcing and enhancing oversight will make us to emerge victorious in this difficult pandemic of gender-based violence and femicide and the other pandemics as well as the other natural and man-made disasters. Once again, let me thank you, Madam Chair, and members for the invitation. And with your permission, Madam Chair, I wish to invite senior officials of the department to make the presentation you have ordered us to make. I thank you very much for this opportunity. And may I take this opportunity once again to join you in condoling members who have lost their loved ones. And in particular, let me also say to my honorable brother, Chadeleng, it will be well in our souls. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Minister, for that input. We will hand over now to the senior officials of the department. We can hand over to the department.
Okay. Good morning, members of the Select Committee Minister and Chairperson, may I request to be given the sharing rights so I can slide the presentation?
That's up, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We will be presenting the revised strategic plan, the APP, and the budget of the Department of Women, Youth, and Persons with Disabilities for the financial year 2022-23. In the presentation outline, Chairperson, we've included key priorities that the department will be focusing on for the 2023 financial year. The priorities of the MTSF for the sixth administration and the department's sustainable development goals. And we have also included information that links the revised strategic plan and the APP. We will also present our mandate, our strategic focus, and the programs of the department, how the department will be structured in this financial year. We've also included the planned outcomes, outputs, and the annual targets as contained in the APP. There's extra information that we have included for the benefit of the select committee. We have included the plans that we have on the use of consultants or researchers. This is information that we shared with our portfolio committee as well on events and campaigns that the department will be facilitating. We've also included our international commitments and activities on bilateral and multilateral standing meetings that the department is responsible for, and the official development assistance. This also looks at the treaty obligations and reporting, and we included information on the legislative program, the human resource management, and the budget of the department. I'll start with the key priorities for 2022-23. We in program two, the name of the program is Mainstreaming Women's Rights and Advocacy. Their main responsibility is to coordinate and monitor the implementation of the Sanitary Dignity Implementation Framework. They will also ensure that women-owned businesses in the sectors are empowered through non-financial support programs to ensure that they are competent in doing business with government. They will also focus on funding allocated to provinces for the procurement of the sanitary dignity pads by ensuring that the specifications are analyzed and they send comments to guard against deliberate tactics on financial exclusion of women. So the department want to push for this the implementation of the sanitary dignity framework to benefit women-owned youth and persons with disabilities-owned entities. They are going to also set up appropriate institutional mechanisms for effective coordination and accountability at provincial level. This they do by also facilitating interventions aimed at addressing challenges that the vulnerable groups in the provinces who are the main beneficiary of this program are faced with, which is water, sanitation issues, hygiene at schools, and the focus is specifically in rural areas. And this work is done in partnership with Department of Basic Education. Education and Department of Water and Sanitation, as well as civil society on the ground in provinces. We also have planned in this program to monitor teenage pregnancy program of actions, which is led by Department of Health. We are a critical stakeholder where we also want to see challenges of forced sterilization of women addressed, including those women who are infected with HIV and AIDS. We also want to ensure that the menstrual health management program is infused with the cancer program that is run in the provinces. In continuation, Chairperson, in this sub-program, they also look at issues of the implementation of the National Strategic Plan on GBVF. We're going to introduce the bill to Parliament on the National Council on GBVF adoption, the establishment of the Council to drive the national response to GBVF genocide, the localization of the National Strategic Plan is done through the establishment of 18 multi-sectoral rapid response teams. Our Minister Chairperson has a huge responsibility when it comes to the establishment of this multi-sectoral rapid response team, whose purpose is to make sure that they are on the ground to respond in GBV prevention strategies that government will be putting in place. We will be first taking cabinet approval of the comprehensive national GBV prevention strategy, as well as our awareness raising strategy on the national strategic plan. The public release on the National Strategic Plan on GBV is on year two of implementation this financial year. We will be conducting midterm evaluation on the implementation of the NSP that will inform the development of the National Strategic Plan on GBV monitoring and evaluation framework for the period 2025 to 2030. That is where we are being proactive in planning for that period of evaluation. The coordinating progress report on will be coordinating progress reporting on the NSP through placement of officials at provincial level to drive monitoring and evaluation, including data capturing. Chairperson, on this one, the department has successfully managed to secure donor funding through the EU. We support the appointment and the implementation of this monitoring and evaluation mandate that the department holds on the NSP, and we will be conducting a high-level GBV policy dialogue. This dialogue, Chair, they will be focusing on enhancing multi-sectoral response, on turning the tide through prevention and rebuilding of the social fabric to make gender-based violence something that is taboo to for anyone in the community to commit. The coordination of the Gender, Youth and Disability Rights Joint Forum will be convened to drive an integrated approach to mainstreaming. And the sub-program will also be looking at the revitalization of the national gender machinery, mainly to inform a programmatic approach to gender mainstreaming and to facilitate the standardization of employment of focal points across government. So we will also, this financial year, reconvene the second presidential summit on the GBVF so that we can report back to society on the work that we've done. Another sub-program that is under Program 2 is economic empowerment of women. Their key priorities will be on localization of the National Strategic Plan on GBV through establishment of this multi-sectoral rapid response team. And they will also be implementing information awareness workshop intended to support increased women economic participation through various economic sectors such as agriculture, green economy. And we are also playing a huge role on the WECONA conference and the Eastern Seaboard, which our minister is also spearheading to make sure that WIPC benefits on that project of government. We will also be conducting further research into the development of the socio-economic empowerment index, and we would eventually support the department's regulatory framework through this socio-economic empowerment index. And the strategy for the empowerment of WIPC will be developed in this financial year. In Program 3, these are the priorities, Chairperson. They will review the South African policy framework for women's empowerment and gender equality towards the development of the national policy. The policy and science work for the women empowerment and the gender equality bill will be facilitated in this program. They will roll out the gender responsive budgeting planning, the phase one, in partnership with National Treasury. And they are also working on gender needs assessment and gender priorities for the next 5 years. We will also be developing a comprehensive national gender missionary mainstreaming strategy and sectoral guidelines and norms and standards. The gender, youth and disability responsive analysis of the strategic plans, the IDPs and DDMs, one plans will also be performed in this unit. They are also responsible for the formative evaluation on the implementation of the gender responsive planning, budgeting, monitoring and evaluation and auditing framework. So in this work, as you may be aware, members, this is one of the priority areas that the president, through the SONA, has thinkered out to make sure that all the departments must implement the GRPPME framework. The research on economic construction and recovery plan is also prioritized for this year. The development of the WIPC comprehensive and sectoral stakeholder database is a work that is underway this financial year. We have a planned stakeholder engagement on the empowerment of WIPC on specific topics such as economic empowerment, the GBEV program, which takes the association and training program, is one of the programs that we are leading in partnership with the MDG. The Maintenance Act, Climate Change, including waste management. These are we've identified also opportunities for employment and entrepreneurship for WIPC through this program. The department chairperson will be holding radio talk shows where we are educating local communities. We are targeting local radio stations where we will be educating WIPC on issues of maintenance, climate change, and the prevention of GBV. There is ongoing international work, including ministerial meetings for the preparation of SCW 67 in 2023, which we will be working on, as well as taking forward the bilateral MOU signed in the implementation plan. drafting to international on international reports recommendations are planned for the following committees: the CEDAW, SDGE 2021, the United Nations CRPD responses list on the issues on disability, the Maputo Protocol on Women Report 2016 to 2022, which is part of the reporting. In Program 2, which is mainstreaming youth and persons with disabilities rights and advocacy, we've got three sub-programs. The sub-program on mainstreaming for the rights of youth will focus, prioritize the data collected against the National Youth Policy 2030 domains and the National Youth Policy Implementation Monitoring Reports will be compiled quarterly, and these are also facilitated to our portfolio committee. It's information that can be shared with the select committee on how the country is doing on the implementation of the youth policy. They have also prioritized the process to review the monitoring and evaluation framework on the youth sector. The document has been consulted with government clients starting quarter three of the 2021-22 financial year, and is in the process of being processed to cabinet for approval. The process to amend the National Youth Development Agency Amendment Bill has been finalized, and the bill was approved by Cabinet for taking in Parliament. So the bill currently, it has been gazetted, and correspondence has been forwarded to Parliament for the tabling of the bill, and the Department will support the parliamentary processes. They will also focus on their energies on the South African Youth Development Bill, which has been developed and is being a consultant. And once this is resigned, it will be presented to cabinet for approval, and the discussion document will be prepared. They will be holding four national youth missionary meetings. These are I have to so that the report that is produced is informed government on the youth work that is happening in the provinces. So it's a stakeholder reporting meeting that we have, planning and reporting that we have with stakeholders in the sector.
Can you please Member Dongeni, can you please mute?
Thank you, Chairperson. The National Youth Development Oversight is performed on a quarterly basis, and produced a
presentation. Can you mute? Can somebody mute from the center? I think that is doable.
Thank you. We have the presidential initiative that is planned for this financial year. It's an inaugural Nelson Mandela Youth Dialogue, which will be held as part of the South Africa's Youth Month program. It will target 15 countries within the AU region, and an implementation plan to give effect to the signed bilateral agreements between South Africa and Nigeria, as well as South Africa and Ivory Coast on youth development, will be developed. the sub-program on advocacy and mainstreaming of the rights of persons with disabilities will focus their energies on prioritizing the annual compliance report on the implementation of the white paper. So they will develop this report in this financial year. They will also analyze the draft annual performance plan for all government departments for the next financial year to ensure that the priorities which are set out in the white paper for the rights of persons with disabilities is planned for in the ATP for the next financial year. They will also be facilitating an evaluation in partnership with DPME on the white paper on the rights of persons with disabilities, the harmonization of the disability instruments, rights instruments is also a work that they will be focusing on monitoring the work that is happening across the government. And they will also prepare the participation of South Africa at the 15th Conference of State Parties, which will be happening in June 2022. And this also includes the drafting of the country position statement. The awareness raising is planned on the four frameworks that the department is responsible for: the self-representation, universal access design framework, reasonable accommodation, and awareness raising framework, which we will implement through the TREM awareness period on disability months. The policy and legislative framework that is going to resume and finalize consultation on the discussion paper towards the disability rights bill, and then they will also strengthen the disability rights machinery and continue to convene the presidential working group. And they will also look at the advocacy and mainstreaming of economic empowerment of persons with disabilities. Chairperson, I'm now getting into the details of the ATP as per the framework on the development of the ATP, which is overseen by the DPME. We have included our MTSF priorities for the sixth administration, and the department will ensure that interventions aimed at implementing the priorities adopted by the sixth administration, they result in advancement, empowerment, and development of women, youth, and persons with disability. And in doing so, we'll be guided by policy and legislation. On priority one, a capable, ethical, and developmental state, we have identified, filtered out these outcomes, which will lead to an improved governance process and system for WIPP. The government-wide planning, budgeting, monitoring, and evaluation framework will address priorities relating to women empowerment, youth development, and the rights of persons with disabilities. The gender, youth, and disability rights machinery will be institutionalized. So in most of these outcomes, we have linked them to the priorities that have already presented. So I will focus on highlighting key ones on the following slide. Under priority two, the main focus will be on equitable economic empowerment and participation, and ensuring that there is ownership for women and youth and persons with disabilities is at the center of the economic agenda. So we do this through identified programs of government. On priority three, education, skills, and health, we want an outcome on improved rate of educational attendance and retention of young women, especially in public sector institutions. And we are aiming at having an outcome of improved health for women, youth, and persons with disabilities, and improved skills for women youth and persons with disabilities on priority score, the department will develop different interventions to reduce GBV. And this will do through the MSP and the identified interventions that have already presented. On priority five, the department will look at through program five, have those frameworks that have presented. We will be holding awareness raising to make sure that all stakeholders who have a key and a role to play in implementation of the white paper, they comply through the development of their plans, their APP and their strategic plans, and making sure that there is alignment with the identified indicators. In priority six, the social cohesion and safe communities, most of our work will focus on GBV and making sure that there is reduction on GBV that affects women, girls, and persons with disabilities. On the Better Africa for the and the World, Priority 7, we will strengthen women with the WIPP agenda within the global, continental, and regional platforms through the programs that I have presented in the previous slide. The department has looked at the Sustainable Development Goals, and gender equality is central on the global development agenda, and we make sure that we promote opportunities for both males and females to find equitable, decent, and productive work in conducive environments, and ensure equal access to decent employment and income-generating opportunities through the programs that we are facilitating in the department. And the National Development Plan advocates for decent work, so we're going to make sure that WIPD benefits on goal 8 of the Sustainable Development Goals. And we also aim to transform the world of work for women by ensuring their inclusion in mainstream economic activities, opportunities, and employment by facilitating the elimination of structural barriers, which are violence and harassment, as well as the discriminatory laws, policies, practices, and sexual norms. Chairperson, slide 11 to... slide 13, they will be presented within the APP. These are slides that we included to demonstrate to the select committee that we have revised our strategic plan and made sure it aligns. So it's also contained in the APP. So I'll go through them in much detail when I present the slides in the APP. This is our mandate, Chair, that we are presenting to you. We are going to regulate the socioeconomic transformation and implementation of the empowerment and participation of women, youth, and persons with disabilities. These are the bills that we have prioritized on the updates on relevant legislation and policy mandates. It's the National Council on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide, the National Youth Development Agency Amendment Bill, and the Promotion of Women's Rights and Empowerment and Gender Equality Bill. As indicated in the priority slide, we have made great strides in making sure that we achieve this, the achievement of the facilitation of the adoption and tabling of this bill in Parliament. Our vision is a right of women, youth, and persons with disabilities realized. Our mission would be by regulating the rights of women, youth, and persons with disabilities. And in doing our work, we observe the Bajupili principles, and we extracted from the Bajupili principles the following. following values we want to do our work with: integrity, accountability, and professionalism. The department has 4 programs: administration, mainstreaming the women's rights and advocacy program, monitoring, evaluation, research, and coordination program, and mainstreaming youth and persons with disability rights and advocacy program. So these are the 4 programs that will be implementing our goals through. On the outcome, output, and annual target, Chairperson, which starts on slide 19, I will be presenting the planned annual targets of the department. In program 1, Chairperson, slide 18, we've included the purpose of the program, which is to provide strategic leadership, management, and sub services to the department. This program consists of sub-program ministry, departmental management, which is the office of the DG, corporate management, financial management, and office accommodation. We have included their purpose in the definition. I will focus on the annual targets and the outcome indicators for program 1. We are planning to have an unqualified audit opinion on predetermined objectives in departmental management. On financial management, we plan to ensure that 100% of all valid invoices are paid within 30 days. And we also want to achieve an unqualified audit opinion on annual financial statements, and to make sure that 40% of the departmental procurement spend is on entities where owned by women. On corporate management, we have planned to maintain a vacancy rate of less than 10%. And have 4 reports on the implementation of the human resource plan, and have 3 reports on the monthly master information technology strategy and plan implemented. This is to ensure that at the end of the day, we have a modernized, secure, and integrated information communications and security technologies and infrastructure and systems for the department. In program 2, we've included the purpose is to promote good governance regarding the rights and transformation of social economic empowerment of women. The sub-programs I've gone through when I was presenting their key priorities. They have the management sub-program, which is the office of the DDG, who has the sub-program, social empowerment of women, economic empowerment of women, and they transfer the vote to the Commission on Gender Equality. They have planned the following under sub-program Economic Empowerment of Women. The annual target there is they will produce 1 report on the development of the Socioeconomic Empowerment Index and hold 4 interventions to support economic empowerment participation and ownership of WIPD will be implemented, and 1 report will be produced on the development of the strategy for the empowerment of WIPD. On social empowerment, this is the program where we will be implementing the NSP and the sanitary, monitoring the implementation of the sanitary dignity framework by provinces. We will produce 4 progress reports on the implementation of the sanitary dignity implementation framework by provinces, and 4 interventions to support social empowerment and participation of WIPD will be implemented, and we will be producing 4 quarterly reports on the implementation of the NSP on GBV, and this also includes 12 the report on 12 national departments, which will be monitored on the implementation of the NSP. We have plans to also produce 4 on the implementation of the NSP by 9 provinces and 4 municipalities. 18 gender-based violence rapid response teams will be established. And on social empowerment of women, we will produce and continue to produce 2 reports on the implementation of the comprehensive national GBV prevention strategy that will be developed, and we will convene 2 integrated gender, youth and disability missionaries. On program 3, Chair, their purpose is to provide research, knowledge management, international relations, stakeholder management, and monitoring and evaluation for WITC. This is how they are structured. They've got management sub-program, which is the office of the DDG. Then they have 3 sub-programs, research, knowledge management, international relations, stakeholder management, and capacity building. Monitoring and evaluation, and which then looks at the M&E for the whole department. Their plans in the ATP for research and knowledge management, their annual targets, they plan to have 1 status report on the implementation of the national gender policy framework developed, 1 status report on the implementation of the regulatory framework for WITC mainstreaming will be developed, 2 progress reports on the piloting of the integrated knowledge hub will be developed, and 1 research report on government priorities focusing on women, youth, and persons with disabilities will be developed, 2 reports on compliance with international and regional instruments on women will be produced. On monitoring and evaluation sub-program, they have planned to have 50% of national departments implementing the gender responsive planning, budgeting, monitoring, evaluation, and auditing framework. And they will produce 1 monitoring report on the empowerment of WIPD, and 1 evaluation will be conducted on the empowerment of WIPD. This align with our minister's key target in the performance agreement, Chairperson, with the president. On international relations, we plan to have 4 status report on the implementation of WIPC on the international relations strategy developed, and will produce 2 reports on the implementation of WIPP stakeholder management framework. We will convene 12 stakeholder engagement on the empowerment of WIPP, and have convened 4 community mobilization initiative, Chair. This is the sub-program that also implements the DDM, which is included in the ATP. And in the DDM, we will also be facilitating a quarterly report to COPTA on how our minister is doing on the implementation of the one plan as set by our president. Program for mainstreaming of youth and persons with disabilities rights and advocacy program. Their purpose is to promote good government regarding the rights and transformation of social and economic empowerment of youth and persons with disabilities. They are structured through the Office of the DDG Management. They have the sub-program Advocacy and Mainstreaming for the Rights of Youth, Advocacy and Mainstreaming for the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And they are also transferring the vote to the National Youth Agency, which is the entity of the department. They have, under the Advocacy and Mainstreaming for the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, they've planned 4 National Youth Implementation Monitoring Reports, which will be produced by the end of the year. And the South African Youth Development Bill work happens in this program. The Youth for National Youth Development Agency monitoring report. They will also convene 4 National Youth Missionary meetings and facilitate 2 International Youth Engagement reports, which they will produce by the end of the financial year. On mainstreaming, advocacy and mainstreaming for the rights of persons with disabilities, we're going to have 1 awareness raising report developed on the awareness raising framework, and 1 report on the self-representation report, and 1 report on the reasonable accommodation report, and the universal design report will be developed. These are frameworks which were approved by a cabinet. On the use of a consultant, a chairperson, I request this to be presented under the financial report, which the CFO will be presenting. So at this stage, Chair, may I please request the CFO to present the financial report, which contains information that is in this presentation until slide 43. So it's contained in the presentation of the CFO. Thank you, Chairperson. So I will hand over to my colleagues who are responsible for the other program to present. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Matubela. We are waiting on the other presentation. Is it who's next?
Thank you, Chair. My name is Luana Lowe. I'm the Director of Finance, standing for the Chief Financial Officer, who is attending the Portfolio Committee as we speak at this stage. Chair, I will be sharing the presentation. By my request, sharing rights,
Chairperson, can I just get your name again for sharing rights?
He's Llewellyn Lowe. Thank you.
There you go, sir.
Thank you very much. Looking at the financial part of the presentation, the use of consultants, as indicated, there are various projects that the department will undertake in terms of the use of consultants and researchers. Currently, the department is also in discussions with the HSRC for assistance in terms of these research projects due to the fact that as we went out on market, we were not successful throughout the open bid process. So we will undertake a partnership with the HSRC on research programs for the department in the upcoming financial, in the performance plan targets of the relevant program, as well as on the workshop and maintaining of the GRPDMEAF with the provinces and the national department, estimation of 100 officials per each workshop, as well as CFC consultation on the review of the national policy framework on women's empowerment and gender equality. This is included in the EU funding. The department has received EU funding for a period of 3 financial years to the total value of 109 million. We have started this process late in the previous financial year. In fact, the money was only received around August, September. So the process of EU funding is also included, where various tasks will be funded by the EU funding. Looking at the events and campaigns, I'm not going to go through each and every detail, but in terms of the estimated cost for 2023 under the three, we're looking at 2.4 million, roughly 150,000 per initiative for top stakeholders in 2022-23, and then 2.5 in the outer year, and 2.7 in 2024-25. Activities and campaigns, the department hosted events that include international commitments made by such countries as consultation. We are looking at the following commemorative events: National Women's Day, as well as Women's Month in August, National Women's Day, National Youth Day and Youth Month, that is upcoming very shortly, and then the 16 days of activism that is roughly running from the 25th of November until the 10th of December. And then the National Disability Day, Disability Month, or as we also refer to it as the Disability Rights Awareness Month, a DRAM that is running from October to November with a bit of an overlap together with 15 days of activism. Over the next 5 years, this part will develop and implement a track and trace system on issues emerging out of all of these activities. So that when we go back, we will then have the relevant feedback as required from stakeholders. In terms of international relations, we have before I mentioned the bilateral relations, multilateral relations, official development assistance, as well as international treaty obligations. This is run by the International Relations Unit Program C, that is cutting across all three sectors of the department. Bilateral agreements, they are listed there for the next 5 years. The support on the National Strategic Plan on GBV, the violence against girls and women, gender-based analysis plan for South Africa, the youth development and women empowerment, as well as the youth development and women empowerment and gender equality linked to the 5 countries that is listed in the slide: Ireland, Ecuador, Canada, Nigeria, and Cote d'Ivoire. Also looking at multilateral standing meetings, the African Union, United Nations, the European Union, SADC, as well as the Commonwealth. The nature of the meetings are in the slide with the approximate cost per year, dependent on the delegation size, but we are also managing that process through the Office of the Executive Authority, whereas our biggest expenditure at this stage is in terms of the Commission on the Status of Women, or CSW, which is roughly estimated at 1.79 million. Then also looking at the IORA, BRICS, the IPSA and UNESCO, there's the nature of those meetings in terms of the Working Group on Women's Economic Empowerment and Senior Officials Meeting, the Ministerial Conference on Women's Economic Empowerment, the Women's Forum, the Youth Summit, and then from IPSA, the Women's Forum there, as well as UNESCO, at this stage where there is no funding, it all depends on the size of the delegation and where it will be held. Official development assistance, resource mobilization, the Executive ODA Coordination Forum at the ministerial level, as well as the technical ODA planning, which is at the level of the Director General. This is for the heads of the development partners, as well as the development counselors for the agencies, embassies, and high commissions. This is just a continuation on the ODA in terms of the European Union, United Kingdom, and UNICEF, where the nature of the interest will be linked to the gender equality, women empowerment for the EU, United Kingdom is the honest and inclusive demographic dividend and drive gender equality in Africa, and then UNICEF the rollout of an automated reporting system against the national youth policy and ME framework. Then in terms of the international relations treaty obligations, it's an ongoing basis. The country is expected and obliged to, or obligated to, report on activities, progress and implementation of the treaty prescripts on a periodic basis. Linked over the next five years, it will be the African Commission on Human and People's Rights, the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, and the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women or CEDAW. International treaties, there is the various treaty protocols and declarations as listed on the slide with the relevant entry of date as well as the reporting cycle. I'm not going to go through each and every one. It might become a cumbersome exercise, but if there's any questions, we can address that as well. Thank you. Then the legislative program, the right of the promotion of women's rights, empowerment and gender equality bill. In quarter one, there will be a participation in the NEDLAC deliberations on the bill. It will therefore then submit it to cabinet, and then it will be introduced to parliament. And then in quarter two, hopefully it will be submitted to the SEAS report to the presidency for approval. Quarter three, to submit the draft bill to the OCSLA for pre-certification, and during quarter four to submit the draft bill to the CG cluster for deliberation. Chair, thank you. This is where my part of the presentation ends, and then I will hand over to my colleague in terms of human resource management. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Minister, Honourable Members. Llewellyn, can you flash the presentation again? Or will I do so from
my... I can do that for you. It's not a problem.
Yes.
It's fine with the committee and the areas of the committee.
Honourable Chair, the included in the presentation that has been provided to the committee is the organisational structure or the organisational alignment and architecture of the department to indicate the capacity of the department. And the current organizational structure is structured around five specific programs as has been presented. Chair, this may appear that there is a disjuncture with the budget program structure that has been indicated, and a process of organizational redesign is currently underway in the department to align the organizational structure with the budget program structure that has been presented. But currently the organizational structure that has been submitted is program one, which would be administration, and I will break down each one of the programs in successive slides. Then we've got the program for social transformation and economic empowerment, the policy, stakeholder coordination and knowledge management, rights of persons with disabilities, and the National Youth Development Program. Honourable Chair, under Program 1, just to indicate the structure of the various programs, we have the Office of the Minister and Deputy Minister, which unfortunately is vacant at the moment. Then the management, the Office of the Director General. We have corporate management and financial management. Thanks, Llewellyn. In terms of the Office of the Director General, we have the management. If you can go one slide down, Llewellyn. Internal audit, risk management, the management secretariat that provides secretariat services to the Office of the Director General, strategic planning and reporting, internal operations efficiency, as well as communication. Corporate management is structured around the management of the division and includes human resource management, legal services, information and communication technology, and auxiliary and security services. And finally, Chair, the last sub-program under administration is financial management, the office of the CFO, which comprises financial management and supply chain management. If we look at the core programs, programs 2 to 5, on the next slide, Llewellyn, program 2 consists of the management of the branch itself and includes social empowerment and participation, governance, transformation, justice and security, which in terms of the budget program structure is now included under the social empowerment and advocacy of women. And then we also have economic empowerment and participation. Under program 3 is the management of the policy, stakeholder coordination, knowledge management branch. We have research, policy analysis, and knowledge management, stakeholder coordination and outreach, and then monitoring and evaluation. International relations, under the current organizational structures, falls under stakeholder coordination and outreach. Under program 4, we have the management of the branch, and then 2 sub-programs, namely advocacy and mainstreaming, and governance and compliance for the rights of persons with disabilities. And then finally, in terms of program 5, the National Youth Development Program, we've got the management, youth legislation, policy, and stakeholder coordination. Thank you, Llewellyn. Honourable Chair, as I've indicated, the department has, over the last year, been involved in a detailed structure, a process of organisational redesign. Because the current structure, as has been presented now, is the remnant of the 2019 NMOG process, whereby the functions of rights of persons with disabilities and National Youth Development Program were transferred to the department from the Department of Social Development and the National Department of National Monitoring and Evaluation, DPME, and what the intention of the redesign process is to develop a structure that is more appropriately aligned and responsive to the presentation that has been given by my colleagues this morning. Honourable Chair, this process has culminated at the end of March of this year, where following adoption by the Management Committee of the Department, the Minister supported the proposed organisational redesign and addressed a letter of consultation, a request for consultation to the Minister for Public Service and Administration on the proposed organisational redesign. Engagement have started taking place with National Treasury and DPSA in terms of the proposed organisational structure. In actual fact, last week there was a meeting with National Treasury and DPSA, and tomorrow there's a further meeting with the DPSA on input from the DPSA. And the redesign of the organisational structure will be based on the feedback that is provided then. Just this last point is that as in the interim, that the budget program structure has been amended, as has been presented by my colleagues this morning, and the proposed organisational redesign will then also align the organisational structure accordingly. Chair, then the detailed organisational structures are here from slide 50 for the next 12 slides. I won't be going through all of them. That is just for the information of the select committee. Just in summary, is the in terms of the budget allocation for the various programs, Chair, is the in terms of the allocation compensation of employees allocation. Thank you, Llewellyn. For 22-23 is an amount of 113.054 million, and between the 4 budget program structures, we have 58.7 million for administration, 14.9 almost 15 million for program 2, for a monitoring, evaluation, research and coordination, an amount of 23.5 million, and then finally for advocacy and mainstreaming for the rights of youth and persons with a disability, an amount of 15.9 million. Chief, what is acknowledged is the disproportionate allocation of resources between the administration program and the core programs. And this is an aspect that will be receiving consideration to the prioritization of resources in favor of core through the restructuring process. I thank you very much. Thank you, Lewin.
Honourable Chair, again, I will then maybe just finalise the presentation in terms of the financial management side, looking at the allocation, the 22-23 budget allocation per programme over the past and future, looking at the 22-23 financial year, the total operational budget for the department is $205,207,000. The total budget for the department is $987,254,000. The biggest chunk of the funding or the appropriation that the department receives is going to the two entities, namely the Commission on Gender Equality, as well as the National Youth Development Agency, $100.7 million and $681.2 million. Respectively going towards transfers of which the department will be budgeted funding. So in terms of operational budget per program, for administration, $98.7 million. Program 2, mainstreaming of the rights of women and advocacy, $32.5 million. Monitoring, evaluation, research and coordination, $42.5 million. And mainstreaming of rights of youth and persons with disability, which is $30.4 million. Looking at the reasons for the increases or the reductions, the appropriation increased from $763.5 million to $987.2 million over the 2022 MTF. The main reasons for this is the annual inflationary adjustment increases for SMSs to be implemented across, and then also in terms of the baseline increase, the earmarked funds for transfer to CG of $6.9 million. As well as the earmarked funding for the GBVF, or the Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Council, that is earmarked in terms of 5 million rand. There's an increase in the National Youth Development Agency of 200 million that is earmarked for the Presidential Youth Deployment Intervention, namely the National Youth Service. Then looking at the economic classification for the department in 2023, as my colleague has indicated, in terms of compensation of employees, the under 30 million. On goods and services, 87.9 million. Transfers and subsidies, 782.2 million, which is inclusive of the commission and the development agency. And then in terms of machinery and equipment, 4 million, bringing us a total of 987.2 million. It must also be indicated or highlighted that out of the 87.9 million for goods and services, there are various areas that are where funding is increasing. As an example, like office accommodation that is included in there, the audit fees, and training that is all centralized and earmarked for specific requirements. Compensation of employees increased by the annual inflationary adjustments. The budget also increased linked to annual inflationary on goods and services. And then the increase on commission and the National Youth Development Agency, all of these are increased by an annual inflation adjustment. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Llewellyn. Is the presentation now finished from the department side?
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms. Matubela. Members, I will open the platform now for discussions, please raise your hand for any questions or discussion. Member Chabaleng, I only see your hand with the other members. Member Chabaleng, you can continue.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. My reception is not very good. I've got a question related to the Presidential Youth Working Committee, the working group. It was established actually to mainstream youth development and empowerment, and actually make sure that they cut across all government departments. So what I want to take is, what is the working relationship between them as the department and the youth working group? How do their work fit into the in that of the department, or how does the department complement their work? This group is very important because we're faced with a high level of youth unemployment. And with the rise in crime and COVID and general addiction to drugs and alcohol, there is actually need to rescue our young people. So just want to check what is it that we are doing to ensure that that dream gets achieved. The other one is again on youth. The APP provides a description of plans related to the NYT amendment bill. But this bill, I'm not sure if I'm not reading this APP very well. On the implementation side, on the target, it does not reflect. So I just want to check, how far are we with that, and why is it not appearing on as a target for the department? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Member Chamberlain. Member Christian.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm also not going to put my camera on, so just for network issues. I have a few questions. So, the department, we note that you are going ahead with the work with the hub, with the knowledge hub, that is aligned to your MPSF priorities. Now, in Program 3 specifically, I noted that it seems that the department is poorly resourced financially and in terms of human capacity. In other words, the required technical skills and the knowledge needed to roll out this knowledge hub. Now, I just have a concern here because it seems as if this was already highlighted in 2019-2020 financial year. So 2 years have now passed, but this target has still not been met. In other words, the knowledge hub is still in abeyance. So my question to the department is, why has this lack of expertise not been addressed yet? And if it has been addressed, how has it been addressed? Because it seems as if the challenge still remains, because I've noted that the pilot program will only be rolled out this year. So a number of years have passed now, but the knowledge hub is still not up and running. Can we just get feedback on in relation to the expertise and when exactly this will actually be rolled out? Then, if I'm not mistaken, I saw that programs 4 and 5 have now been combined, that youth and persons with disabilities have been combined. Now, I have a concern there because obviously these are two completely different sections, and obviously each of those sections have their own vulnerabilities and needs. And so what? Why were these two programs combined into one group? And then further to that, I heard during the HR presentation that they were looking at meeting or looking at those programs and how to structure the HR and so on. But can we have a little bit more input with regard to that? So if these two programs have now been combined, will there be still two separate heads, two chief directors, etc.? How exactly will this program be combined, and what will the implications then be for these two programs? Will it have an impact on the APPs and the strategic operations of these two programs? So that is a particular concern, especially with regard to the youth. Youth unemployment is high, and of course our persons with disabilities, which have been historically marginalized. And then lastly, Chairperson, just with regard to the sanitary pad project, I would have just liked to have known a little bit more about it. So we've heard that it is on the cards. We've heard that money has been allocated to that. But how will it be rolled out? In other words, what is the program that the department is looking at to ensure that young girls don't stay out of school due to this need? What is the collaboration with the department and with basic education department, etc.? In other words, how will it be rolled out? Which provinces are targeted, which schools are targeted, etc. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Member Christian. Is there any other member who wants to deliberate on the report? Any other member? Okay, I see member
Chairperson, can you go back over the lefapha ga gona le ka fang bana, go na le bana ba le bantsi ba e leng gore ba ko tlase ga dingwaga di le 16 ba ba e leng gore ba rekisa mmele ya bone go ka kry-a dithuto ba tsone di-drugs. So ne ke botsega lefapha ga gona sepe se le ka se dirang go ka thusa bana bao. Ke leboga.
Thank you, Member Layini. I see we don't have the option of translation. I just hope that the department did get the question. Thank you, Member Layini. Seems like there's no other member with a question or anything to discuss. Now, from my side, I don't have a lot of questions. My first question will be to the minister. Regarding this disaster that we are faced with in the country, I see Member Pahai standing there. Just generally, Minister, it is mostly, especially when we look at the floods in KZN, it is mostly children, youth, women, people with disabilities that is highly affected. From my side, Minister, I would just love to know the role that this department has played during this flood in KZN. We see how many of our school children have been affected. Either the minister or the DG can give us an indication of the role that was played by this department in regards with the flood and the disaster. We saw that our schools have been severely damaged. Children couldn't go to school. And just the impact of this disaster and how your department has played a role within the other departments for the protection of our women, youth, and people with disabilities. Thank you. I see Member Baha.
Thank you, Chairperson, and let me welcome the presentation as well. Chair, I just have two issues that I want to raise. I think one was covered by Honorable Ntshabele, but I just want to get a sense of to what extent is the issue of youth unemployment being addressed. I know that there would be coordination of what is being done by different ministries, but I just want to get a sense of whether are we really winning it? What are the challenges that we're confronted with in addressing it? But the second one, Chairperson, we've just seen a scourge of gender-based violence. And there's been murders of women that's been on the news in this week, and I think the past week, so it has not died down anyway. Now, I want to check whether the ministry, is there anything that is being done? I heard mention of it in terms of the presentation that was being made. But I just want to get a sense of practicality, what it is that the department is doing or engaged in trying to fight gender-based violence, and probably what kind of assistance would the department will require from us, for an example, in order to assist in trying to do whatever that it is that they think needs to be done urgently to try and curb the issue of gender-based violence. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Member Baha. If there is no other questions, I will hand back to the Minister and the Department. And thank you, Members, for your participation.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairperson. And this is the DDG, Madam Shoki Shabalala. Just to indicate that I am here also representing the DG, supporting the Minister, who is also at the Portfolio Committee. We have noted the questions. There are managers that are present to assist in responding to those, but I would like to make a comment at the end of my response on youth matters, on how we will handle that matter. However, on the issue of the Knowledge Hub, I will request Ms. Ranji Reddy to respond to that one. And on the issue of sanitary pads and the one that talks to kids who are selling their bodies, as well as the gender-based violence, including the disaster in KZN, I will respond to some of those issues. And we will then check if there's anything else. Madam Val will talk to why the two programs have been combined and whether we have compromised one program or not in this instance. On the Sanitary Dignity Implementation Program, I wish to indicate that we are the lead department. We developed the Sanitary Dignity Implementation Framework, and we are coordinating and monitoring the implementation of that framework. National Treasury took the decision to fund the provinces directly and not to channel the funding to the Department of Women. So all 9 provinces receive their funding from National Treasury, and they are implementing, and it's in their equitable share. What they then do, they access or provide the sanitary pads to children who are in quintile 1, 2, and 3, the farm schools and special schools as well. Of course, provinces differ in the frequency of distribution, but eventually they distribute depending on the infrastructure they have within provinces. Some are distributing on a monthly basis because that has an impact on the issues of storage. Some are distributing on a quarterly basis. Only one province is distributing annually, once a year, because that's Eastern Cape, because of the challenges that they're experiencing in terms of issues of storage. That issue has been raised with them because we run the risk of the girl child ending up sharing the sanitary towels with other family members and compromising the response to her need when she is at the point of going through her menstrual cycle. So in monitoring, we do compile reports. We report on a quarterly basis to our portfolio committee, and where departments are not spending, we raise it with the DGs of those provinces and the HODs responsible. There are two distribution points per province. Five of those are with the education department, four of those are with social development. Decisions as to which department is leading provincially were made by the provincial executive committees. But at the end of the day, they do have a database of the deserving children and they distribute to those children. What we are currently working on as a department when it comes to the sanitary program is to ensure that the value chain is addressed beyond just the distribution. Right now, they issue tenders, and we also monitor about the specifications that they crafted to ensure that women are not excluded in ensuring that they benefit from obtaining those tenders. We assess, we apply gender lens to those specifications before they go on tender, and we push hard for inclusion of women. We build capacity of women. We work closely with the private office of the presidency so that they too can make business and work with government or tender, trade with government. So we are working closely with the Department of Small Business as well as DTIC to check how feasible is it to even work on the issue of developing hubs for women so that we can start addressing the issue of manufacturing. But that is still at its infancy stage in terms of conceptualization. That's how far at a high level I can report on the issue of sanitary. But we are working closely with the Department of Basic Education as well as the provinces that are responsible for that. On the issue of Lefapha la Bana who are selling their bodies, we're noting the concern. What we have done at a strategic level as a department was to liaise with the body that is responsible for the implementation of the drug master plan. The chairperson actually requested the department to provide guidance and leadership, and in several sessions with them, we are pushing for the interlinkages or the interfacing of the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence with the Drug Master Plan, because there is a link with substance abuse as well as either trafficking of children or them even selling their bodies to access the drugs. The Department of Social Development is leading in this regard, and once we have concluded on that document that addresses the interface, we will be in a position to then say these are the areas that we are highlighting. But what we have already achieved beyond just this matter was that we have developed a document that addresses the interlinkages of the NSP, as we abbreviate it, with HIV and AIDS NSP. So within HIV and AIDS, there's also issues of drugs and sharing of drugs. We can share that document. We've developed it jointly with UN Women, as well as the FANAC group, and it's a document that has been led and Department of Women provided strategic guidance in that regard. On the issue of the disaster in KZN, we have facilitated the sharing or the distribution of sanitary pads, though we won't say it's for the entire KZN, but whatever that we had as a department, we have facilitated for the distribution. We're working closely with the Department of Social Development. We have a structure called WECONA, Women's Economic National Assembly, that was launched by the president, handed over to the minister to ensure that it is rolled out to all provinces. We participate in the WECONA disaster structure, and we are providing guidance and assistance on as to where to raise not necessarily funds, but products that are required and sent to women. We work in collaboration with civil society organizations, and WECONA is also actively involved in what we call pillar collaboratives of the National Strategic Plan. All the six pillars of the National Strategic Plan comprises collaboratives that are jointly led by government and civil society. So we are working jointly with them in addressing this matter. At some point, we will be bringing in our monitoring angle in terms of what has happened so far. We we did raise the issue of the safety of women, children and persons with disabilities as we were working through the offices of the Premier, the OSW. So we have placed technical monitors in OSW offices for both the NSP and what we call gender responsive planning, budgeting, monitoring and evaluation and auditing framework. Those are the ones that will be dealing with the monitoring aspect so that we are able to provide a support as to how did the OSWs in partnership with social development fare in dealing with those issues as well. I think I've dealt with the scourge of GBVF. In terms of the scourge of GBVF, we do have this national strategic plan as a department, but there are, I would like to insist that, I mean, indicate that there's a few key programmatic thrust areas that we are focusing on. One of them is prevention. We are now working on completing our prevention strategy, which will then be taken through the necessary processes in government and make sure that at the end of the day, we have programs that are evidence-based, that are evidence-informed, that are practice-informed. And we are also working with the EU to look at existing programs that can be evaluated to be responsive from an evidence perspective and from a practice-informed perspective. We're also pushing for a multi-sectoral response because the NSP is not sparing anyone in implementing that strategic plan. It says harness all to implement the national strategic plan. So through this multi-sectoral response, we have the pillar collaboratives of those six pillars. And that is where we jointly deal with issues of budgeting, working together with civil society and identifying quick wins and implementing jointly. And we're doing well. We've even developed a website in this area of work. But I still feel that prevention is key across all areas that we're doing, whether it's within the family setting, within the individual or civil, I mean, society at large. The other one is looking at funding, our role in unlocking and unfolding funding through private sector. President launched the private sector GBVF fund, and through that fund, we have played a critical role in ensuring that rural areas are not left out. CSOs in informal settlements are not left out, and those that are also in the periphery are not left out in the amount of money that was already raised by the private sector. But still around the funding issue, we are working with Work Corner that I've alluded to earlier on to make sure that ultimately we unlock funding through supply chain management units and make sure that our SCM units in private sector and in government are gender responsive and there's no financial exclusion of women when it comes to our own SCM processes, including government. The other one is localization. We are localizing the national strategic plan. We've set up rapid response teams. Already we are moving to ensure that all provinces are covered. We can give an account of how many of those rapid response teams we set up, but I know we've done KZN, we've done Eastern Cape. We were now busy with the Free State. But with local response teams, if we don't localize the implementation of the NSP, which is where gender-based violence is happening, we won't be even able to ensure that people are responsive on time and quick. So all the service providers come on board at that locality to make sure that they are responsive. And if time permits, as we continue to work, we will even take it further to ward levels. But at this point, it's through province offices as well as the local government. The other one is the economic power that I've alluded to, as well as working in a collaborative effort. Lastly, it's monitoring and evaluation. We do report to the president on a monthly basis. We indicate what is it that the respective departments are doing. We do have challenges with reporting in respect of civil society organizations. They are not reporting, as one would expect. About two or three of those are reporting, and we've indicated to them that no one is spared from implementing the NSP. From the pillar one, which talks about accountability, it cannot be right that it's only government that will account to the public and to civil society when they too are receiving funding from development partners, from social development, from a number of sectors, but we don't get those reports. So they have committed that they will be reporting going forward. Lastly, as I conclude on the issue of reporting and GBV, we will be hosting a summit led by the Minister and the President on the 1st and the 2nd of November. That's the second GBVF summit in the country. we will be giving an account from an accountability point of view of what are the things that we've achieved in addition to the one-year report that we have compiled. We already have a year one report on our achievements in implementing the NSP, and we are currently compiling our second year report on the implementation of the NSP. So we're hoping that relevant key role players, including yourselves, will be invited to this GDV summit, and we are working closely in terms of planning of it with civil society so that we all take account from an accountability perspective. I've tried to respond to the GDV one at a high level, but should there be further specific questions, I'm more than willing to respond to those, Chairperson. I'll hand over to Madam Ranji, followed by Madam Farr.
Thank you, DDG. Good morning to the Chair and the Honourable Members. I'm Ranji Reddy from the Department. I'm currently acting in the branch monitoring, evaluation, knowledge, research, and stakeholder coordination. So I'm going to respond to the issue raised on the Knowledge Hub. You know, first of all, the Knowledge Hub is a critical infrastructure for the department, but also the way we've planned it is also critical for external stakeholders. The reason being is that we were looking at and learning from our own experience in the department on the lack of a centralized hub where you could find research, evidence, information, case studies, data, disaggregated data, you know, in one place so that it could help in terms of making evidence-based information and decision-making or policy development, or even in terms of influencing intervention and program design. Now, one of the challenges we've experienced as a department is that we are just unable to get the kind of disaggregated data pertaining to all three sectors in order to do our reports, to do research further, etc. So we realize that it's a very critical infrastructure to put into place. But we also found in that as we unfolded this project, that it's a highly technical infrastructure. It requires technical skills in terms of the design, the build-up, and the ICT knowledge. And, you know, it also looked at that kind of expertise for management. The content that can go into the Knowledge Hub lies very much in our domain. The development from a technical aspect is definitely not in our domain. Now, I say that because the unit called Research, Policy and Knowledge Management, the personnel that are hired in there are hired in terms of gender and their knowledge and gender, or on research and policy. And none of us in that unit are actually knowledge managers, given that it's a very specific function. Now, having said that, I totally agree with the Honourable Member Christian. The unit is poorly resourced, and even in terms of human capacity, at the moment it has one acting chief director, one director, and two persons in the administrative section. Now, given that, and the fact that the unit is looking at research work, it looks at policy work, it looks at creating the Knowledge Hub, and it also does all of the international reports, the writing, the preparation of those international reports. Those are four huge functions of the department assigned to a minimal you know, set of personnel. So somebody once described this unit as being in the intensive care, and it is so. Secondly, in terms of the physical, the financial resourcing, year on year, this unit totally gets a goods and services budget of between 1.4 to 1.8 million. Now imagine having to do two big functions. One is research, and the other one is the Knowledge Hub with a minimal amount. So the approach we took, Honourable Chair, is that, and actually it even goes further back than 2021, and I'll take you through that. In 2019, we had initiated what we called a gender knowledge hub. And then we conceptualized that and looked at a possible proposed model. But then in 2020, we realized that it can't only focus on gender. It needs to bring issues of disability and the youth one time so that it is a knowledge hub for the department and all external stakeholders. So in 2020, we conceptualized an integrated knowledge hub, and we looked at a proposed model there. Now, we didn't do this on our own. We actually worked with and currently working with the University of Johannesburg, because they have this skill, and they were also doing a similar thing with the Department of Planning, Monitoring, and Evaluation. Now, given our very tight resources, we could not achieve a knowledge hub within 1 year. So we decided to phase in the process and use part of the money for the knowledge hub, and then the major part for research and other work. So in 2021, we then went further. We've done a lot of work on this knowledge hub at the moment. In 2021, we actually started a technical design. We started to look at the front end and the back end of the knowledge hub. So the back end was what would be the ICT process. The front end would be what are the fields we would create and how would we would populate them. So that's a lot of work that we started to do. We've already begun some of the fields and populating the fields. Now, in 2022, and this is where the rollout is actually starting, but it's a phased approach. We are rolling out this year by piloting it only on certain fields. For example, I cannot remember all the fields, but for example, we would probably look at the field of gender-based violence and economic. I'm just using two, and economic empowerment. And then we would implement to see how that would work, and then we would build on the fields year on year as the finances are available and the ability to manage is taken on board. And hopefully in the outer years, we might be able to hire a knowledge management specialist. But having said that, honorable members, we did present, and we do every year say that we are phasing in. So that is where we are now. We have designed, conceptualized, and designed technically. We are now working on the ICT issues, and we are looking at placing that now on our system in the department so that we can pilot. And the next year we will add more fields as we go on. So I don't know if that sufficiently answers the question, but genuinely, there is no technically skilled knowledge management person even in the entire department. So it's a process. We have to work with expertise from the outside. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. sorry, Ms. Chabalala, we request 12 minutes left for responses, and if the minister is still on the platform, we must include her in the 12 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We just had one that I think it's important, the two programs that were combined, and I'll hand over to the Minister.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, BDG. On the issue of the two programs that were combined, members and Chairperson, we were guided by the guidelines on the development of the program structure, which are issued to government departments in line with Section 27(3) of the PSMA. We were in consultation and we worked with colleagues from National Treasury. Initially, Chair, we had five programs, and youth and rights of persons with disabilities were separate. But after they presented the requirements of the guidelines as issued by the Minister of Finance, which they are still implementing since 2010, we were then advised that we should reduce our program structure to four programs. And in doing so, the guide then guides us on how you do that. And that is what we did, and then our program structure was approved. But for the benefit of this committee, when you look back to the department, even prior to this NMOG that we had to comply with when youth and rights of persons with disabilities came from GPME and DSD to the Department of Women, we have always had four programs. Historically, we've had rights of persons with disabilities, mass youth, children, and we've had a DDG that was heading that program, heading rights of persons with disabilities and children. So in our working with Treasury and through these requirements of Section 27 of the PSMA, we then combined youth and rights of persons with disabilities, and they have three sub-programs under this program. When you look at how we are structured, you see that in program one, these are admin services. In program two, these are programs that are women related, but they also factor in empowerment and transformation matters for youth and persons with disabilities. The program three is mostly also prescribed in that. That's where you find your research, your monitoring and evaluation. You find stakeholder international relations, which when you look at other departments in line with this guide that I'm referring to in Section 27 of the PSMA subsection 6.2, we are quite structured uniformly across as government. So that's how we ended up with four programs, and youth and persons with disabilities were combined. But when you look at the structure that my colleague Andre presented from HR, that's an organizational structure, the organogram. You'll see that it's an interim one, which is still in five programs, because now we are still awaiting approval from GPSA on the new proposed structure of the department. So in terms of the vote, the program structure then informs how we develop the AAPP into the four programs. So, but in terms of executing our mandate and policy matters that we are, our minister is responsible for, the program structure does not affect how we implement the work. We are still everywhere.
Chairperson, I'm not sure whether it's me that lost Madame Val or what, but if we have lost her, I would like to request that we hand over to the minister. But on my side, I can't hear it at all.
I think we've lost her. Let me hand over to the minister.
Hello, sorry, Chair. Hello.
We can hear you, Mr. Jack.
Yes, for the minister. The minister had to apologize to go and attend the memorial service. I tried to communicate with the secretary yesterday about the apology.
for this memorial service. Thank you.
No, thank you, Mr. Cech. That is fine. Sorry, Ms. Shabalala. Before I take the opportunity to thank you and the department and the minister in abstention, the only one concern that was raised by Member Christian, and I want to make the following proposal. The issue of the sanitary pad, if maybe you can send us the, sorry, your distribution plan of the sanitary towels, and also how the different provinces has distributed that. If you can send that to our administration, the report on the distribution, it will be highly appreciated. And then from my side, let me take the opportunity to thank the minister for availing herself also to be part of this meeting. Let me take the opportunity, Ms. Shabalala and your team, for coming before this select committee this morning. I think the members have got the opportunity to deliberate on issues pertaining in your APP and budget. And with that, I want to thank you, and I want to ask the members to please remain in the meeting while we allow Ms. Shabalala and the team to leave the meeting. And best wishes to this department for the hard work that you are doing. We can really see a difference, but I think a lot still needs to be done from this department. Thank you very much. You are excused.
Thank you, Chairperson. We will be looking for that information. Distribution is happening within the provinces. We may not give you the information like tomorrow, but we will be coordinating that information and collate it and send it to your department, to the committee. Thank you so much.
Okay, members, I think, Marcel, is it 4 or 5 sets of minutes that we must go through? And the minutes has been sent to all members. So we will start with the minutes of the 22nd of March. Uh-huh. And this minute is a consideration and adoption of the protocol to the African Charter on human and people's rights and the rights of persons with disabilities in Africa. And I think all members were present. I'm only going to ask if there is any member who needs to make a correction in the set of minutes. And if there's no correction, then we have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of this minute.
Please.
Thank you, ma'am. Leili, move, is there a seconder? I don't see any hand. Can we have a seconder?
Christian, thank you.
Thank you, Member Christian. So this minute has been adopted. The next set of minutes is the 26th of April. The agenda was the consideration of the 22-23 APP and budget vote for the Department of Social Development. The only apologies in this meeting was Member Chabaling and Member Chubi.
If you did not find any corrections in this minute, I will ask for a mover and a seconder for the set of minutes. Thank you, Member Lee. Is there a seconder?
Baja, second chair.
Thank you, Member Baja. Let this minute has been adopted. We can move for the next one. Marcel? Okay. Next minute is the 3rd of May, and the agenda was the consideration of the 22-23 APP and budget for the NDA and SASA. If you did not find any correction in the minutes, I will now ask for a mover and a seconder for the set of minutes.
Chair?
Yes.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm sorry for disturbance. I moved the
okay.
Adopted.
Thank you, Member Dunkeni. Is there a seconder?
I second the person.
Thank you, Member Maleka. So the seat of minister has been adopted. Okay, the next set of minutes is the 17th of May. It is the consideration of the 2022-23 annual performance plan and budget votes for the Department of Health. Apologies, was Mr. Tuli and Mr. Chabale. If you did not find any correction, can we have a move for the adoption and a second please?
I'm off, Chair.
Thank you, Member Lahi. Is there a seconder?
Christian, second, Chair.
Thank you, Member Christian. This minute has been duly adopted. Do we have another one, Marcel?
Chairperson, that was it. Thank you.
So that was, we don't have any other documents, only those.
Yes, we're done with everything, Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you, Marcel, and thank you, members, for your presence in this meeting. Member Dungeni, we do accept your apology, and I think you owe the rest of the committee members whenever we see each other again a nice chocolate cake.
I will, Chair. A nice cup of coffee.
Yes. Thank you, members. Go well. It's very cold. We see each other at 2 in plenary. Go well and best wishes to everybody. Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.
Hi, everyone.
Thank you, Chair. Bye.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, and members. Thank you.
Don't greet me. We are more, shall we?
Oh, I'm sorry, guys.
See, very long conversation, Yako. We heard everything that we were saying there.
Oh, my God. Oh,
yes.
My God.
So it's no longer a secret. Yes. Can I comment on it now?
Comment with pleasure.
Bye.